Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM, Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. Two hours of talk, interviews, with a little music thrown in. Today's show will be mostly recorded because I'm in court. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pier Robert Norris. I've got a stop sign ticket I'm dealing with. But you'll still hear a lot of me interviewing a lot of people. So stay tuned, and I hope I get back shortly, and perhaps between 11 and 12 I will be back and be able to do some live call-in. But for the first hour or so, there'll be no call-ins, just listen-ins. So listen in.
Please, Mr. White House, don't send me to the poorhouse. You've taxed my pockets empty and my bills I cannot pay. Please, Mr. White House, I'm living in the doghouse. The bank just came to repossess and took my house away. Please, Mr. White House, don't send me to the jailhouse. I just want to live my life the way it's supposed to be. Please, Mr. White House, my friends are in the big house. I just want to have a home and feed my family. Please, Mr. White House, I can't afford a dollhouse. But you have many colored rooms with closet space to spare. Please, Mr. White House, tell me your house is my house. When I come to Washington, I'll move in with you there. Mr. White House, I'm living in the doghouse. The bank just came to repossess and took my house away. Please, Mr. White House, take your programs to the outhouse. Until the truth comes out of you, it's in there you can stay. Until the truth comes out of you, it's in there you can stay.
Well, that was Mark Levy from his early 90s album, Sheroes, Heroes. Mark Levy is a great topical songwriter. He wrote such songs as Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless, 999 Points of Light, song about food activist Sandra Loringer here in Santa Cruz, who went to jail for 3 weeks for serving free food to homeless people at the town clock in what became a precursor to the free meal program, where protest, in effect, created the food program, first run by Calamity Jane Himmler and now by Karen Gillette out at the Homeless Community Resource Center. Mark Levy has also written songs about sitting on the sidewalk here in Santa Cruz, a pastime made illegal in 1994 downtown by the Santa Cruz City Council, and a law since modified by court decision and subsequent council action to make it illegal to sit 10 feet from a shop window. Something which may have a profound effect on the Feed the People and Food Not Bombs meals at Friendship Corner, Cathcart and Pacific, once the new building goes in at Ford's parking lot, which is currently fenced off in anticipation of upcoming construction. Mark Levy wrote a song about that called There Ain't No Sittin' in the City of Santa Cruz. But this week at City Council, the issue wasn't sitting, the issue was drumming. As those who have been following this in the papers know, an ordinance concerned with drumming noise after 8 o'clock at night and before 10 o'clock in the morning easily passed a first reading on April 9th at City Council by a 6-1 vote, Celia Scott being the only dissenting vote. This ordinance allowed a simple complaint about drumming indoors to be the basis of a ticket without any showing of the noise being disturbing or offensive, which I think is the current standard. Well, at the April 23rd meeting on Tuesday, lots of drummers showed up, and one of them was Arthur King, who apparently is a drumming instructor who's traveled internationally and had a lot to say about that issue.
Thank you.
It's April 23rd, about 5 after 9 in front of the City Council chambers. I'm standing here in the midst of some folks waiting for the drumming ordinance to come up for a second reading. We've been talking to
shots at each other in relationship to... That was in the middle of the sentence. You stopped me. I'm sorry.
Very good. But we've been talking to...
All right. Hi, this is Arthur Hull. And you asked me a very important question, because why are these people doing this? Why do they want to make this repressive law? And they're responding to the most negative aspect of the drumming population.
What are you going to recommend to the council that it do?
I'm here to educate them rather than recommend. I'd prefer that the ordinance be 10 o'clock rather than 8 o'clock. I think that's more realistic for the drummers who want to drum out on West Cliff Drive to drive, you know, to play for the drum set and the sunset and the evening and stuff. But of course, realizing that there's a law now that you cannot protest, that's in effect. It's a state park law, okay, that you can't even drum out on West Cliff Drive unless you have a permit. And catch 22, catch 22 is that there's only one permit issued a month.
Per individual? Or?
No, period. Got it?
Well, we don't want your kind around here.
Okay. And here's an aspect of it, okay? New Year's Eve, 3 years ago, drummers, anarchist drummers, around the town clock for New Year's Eve, okay? The police come to break them up because they think that the drums is also an aspect of the problems they've been having downtown, and they don't want a riot. So the police created their own riot. What was next was... the next year, all of a sudden, we have First Night, mm-hmm. right? And First Night was created, which is a wonderful, powerful, beautiful community building event, was created for one of the reasons out of that. Now, that was an aspect of people responding to the police and the police responding to the drummers in such a way that nothing but negativity happened out of it. The positive aspect is that we had a community drum circle at First Night down by the town clock, and there were 300 people involved. And actually, the first time it was in the Civic Auditorium, in a safe place away. Mm-hmm. And once they found out that who showed up was community, mom, dad, kids, grandma, grandpa, and everyone else, then last year, we had a drum circle, which I facilitated, mm-hmm. down by the town clock for First Night. Mm-hmm. And we had another population of about 300 people show up and participate, mm-hmm. mom, dad, kids. And that's the positive aspect of the drum community that exists here in Santa Cruz. Now, in the last four weeks, I've been in 8 countries, mm-hmm. okay, from Canada to Kuala Lumpur, mm-hmm. okay, and this is all in its drumming community is small on the world, and everybody knows what's going on, and so this is all I've been hearing about. I haven't been able to be here. They even came inside my own drum factory and interviewed my general manager about this stuff, okay, and all I've been listening to is this bedtime for bongos.
The drumbeat of oppression.
Right, that kind of stuff. And so I happen to be in town, luckily, for this last meeting.
And I'm happy to be in town.
Well, literally, I'm passing through my own town to go do some more drum circles somewhere else. And what I was doing in those...
Drum you out of town.
What I was doing, you're already doing that. People asked me in Hong Kong. I was doing a drum circle in Hong Kong. They said, are you going to be arrested for teaching on the beach? And the answer is probably yes.
So are you going to go for it? Would you be a bust?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that. What are you going to do? This interview is going nowhere.
After this law is passed and 30 days later becomes law.
Yeah. It's going to make me very sad.
So it will make you very sad, but you don't see yourself on the beach getting hauled away with your drums.
You might. But I have a tendency to, you know, I don't want to be the rock. I want to be water. I'll flow around the rock. You can't stop. You cannot stop water from flowing. And you really can't stop drums from drumming.
Who and what was behind the push to eliminate drumming after 8 o'clock at night? Again, singling out specifically drumming, not guitar, not the loud shouts of drunks, not guitar playing, not tuba playing, not polkas and accordions at night, just drumming. Some of us felt Mayor Rotkin was again flexing his gentrification wings. earlier in the year he had attempted to fence off the Ford's parking lot at a cost of $4,000 and ended up on the losing side of that vote. 2 years before, Rotkin had been a proponent of the downtown ordinances, making it illegal to sit down near a shop, making it illegal to ask for spare change peacefully after dark, making it illegal to set up a table at night on the mall for political purposes. Indeed, Michael Rotkin has long supported the anti-homeless sleeping ban, and I'm currently embroiled in a controversy with him around that issue. Going to be a debate on that issue, incidentally, for those who are interested, on May 6th, Monday at 2 o'clock on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Not on my show, but on someone else's show. You might want to tune in for that. That's Monday, May 6th at 2 o'clock. That, by the way, is contingent on whether I go to jail on May 3rd. On May 3rd in San Francisco, a week from today, I will be appearing before a San Francisco Municipal Court judge, surrendering myself, in fact, to face 2 months in jail for contempt of a court order barring Food Not Bombs, a local anti-hunger organization in San Francisco, from feeding free food to people in Civic Center Plaza. I was convicted of this crime, if you want to call it that, in 1994, have been appealing, and my appeals have run out. I'm going to attempt to get that sentence modified to nothing, and I'll even attempt to have my bagels returned to me, though it's been a number of years since the police seized them. But again, May 6th is a debate between myself and Michael Rotkin on the sleeping ban on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Michael Rotkin, again, was considered to be, by some of us, the evil genius behind this law, since he seemed to be one of its most ardent advocates. Indeed, he spoke about it at length in favor of it at the last session, and indeed at the session of City Council on April 23rd. But, in fact, the law was motivated by a number of things, and one of them was concerns by El Centro residents, the housing complex. El Centro is the housing complex right across the street from Friendship Corner at Cathcart and Pacific. And we're next going to hear a lengthy interview and dialogue between Lilani, a resident of the El Centro district, and various drummers. Lilani spoke quite clearly to the city council and stood up for herself in front of drummers who were ranged from critical but mellow to outspokenly angry and even hostile on the issue. I'm talking to Lilani, who's a resident of the, what do we call these apartments that are right across from
Calcutta? El Centro.
And you've lived there for?
Almost 2 years.
And you
are senior complexes.
These are for folks over 50?
Over 62.
Over 62. You
yes.
Don't look over 60. What is this talk? So you've been concerned because you've literally described yourself as having to put earplugs in your ears, close your windows,
lock them.
What else in order to get the noise?
Sleep in my bathroom.
Sleep in your bathroom. It's more insulated than other parts of your.
Yes.
And you said that when you've talked to drummers outside on the Pacific Avenue, sometimes they've been courteous, but usually they've not, or sometimes they've not, or you get some disinclined.
It's probably 50-50. Some of them, one fellow broke his guitar on the sidewalk when I went over and talked to one drummer, and another fellow told me that he'd been on the street for 26 years, in other words, he wasn't going to change, and he finally has, because I just said, well, I came down to talk to you first, but if you don't understand, then I'm just going to go call the police. Mm-hmm. So he finally saw that. And I used to tell him, just move down the street a half a block across from Woolworths. I said, that's all we ask, but he wouldn't do it. But now he does. He never plays out in front. It's the people that come in that don't know.
So really, you think it's a matter of education rather than perversity?
Yeah. Well, because we're very open. We're not really mean. I'm basically the only one that's gone down and done anything about it. And the police told me what to do, and I did get up petitions quietly. And I didn't want to create a scene. It was just that we needed help. Mm-hmm. And the drummers, I knew it was a miscommunication.
Right. Now here's a drummer. You're a drummer, right? Now here's a woman who's been disturbed by drumming. She's an older resident of a building downtown, right at Cathcart and Pacific across the street. Mm-hmm.
Have you played down there on the drums?
No. I play on Westcliff.
Are most of the drummers here Westcliff drummers, or?
I think so. And we're just afraid that they're going to start enforcing serious regulations and stuff there. So that's what we're afraid of. We're just afraid of the whole band in general, because once they get it approved, then they might just go crazy with it.
Do you know what it's like to listen to drums for hours?
I work at a drum store, so yeah.
Yeah, but you don't listen to the same beat. It isn't where you live, where you try and meditate, you know, where you try and take a nap. It drives you crazy. And especially when you get older, you know, you want peace and quiet. And I know there are people down on Westcliff that are having a similar situation. You know, maybe, I know it's difficult, but maybe you could find an area where there aren't any residents nearby, where the sound doesn't carry. I was the one that started telling the drummers to go to the beach. Yeah, it was Tamarack. Did he play with you? Tamarack, do you know Tamarack? Yeah, he's in
jail in England.
Yeah, he sure is.
what do you folks do as drummers? What do you folks do as drummers when there's a complaint from a resident? Do you move? Do you play? Do you ignore it? What's the difference?
From the very beginning, before there's a complaint, during a complaint, after a complaint, the whole goal is to meditate. It's a way to find a peace within and a peace between people, and it seems to be designed for millennia to actually create states inside people of connectedness.
You're talking about drumming.
Absolutely.
What about those who find drumming drives them crazy, like Lalani here?
Well, then it's a short trip. I mean, the goal of meditation, for anybody trying to meditate, is to kind of let the world in.
I have lived in many towns and cities, and this is the first time drums have ever been allowed on the streets. I came from Hawaii, and, I've never seen anything like this before. So it's like imposing on someone what you feel is your trip. And like the drummers had told me, people love our drums. The tourists love our drums. Well, that may be true, but they don't stand there for 8 hours and listen. They can listen for a few minutes or for a half hour, and they can move on. We have to sit and listen. I have people in the building. One woman has such a bad heart problem, especially from the drums, but she's on medication. That's why she couldn't come tonight. And she's been taken away to the hospital at occasion. It's a very upsetting. There are people in that building that have cancer. There are people in that building that they go to the hospital a lot. The ambulance comes there. I mean, it's a senior building. So, unfortunately, they put it in downtown Santa Cruz after the drummers got accustomed to playing on the street.
She's talking about the building right across from Friendship Corner at Cathcart and Pacific.
I don't see any reason why the residents of your building should have any kind of intrusion that interferes with their health or sleep. That would be absolutely unfair, especially in my golden age. I would hope for a chance for peace and quiet. At the same time, I just finished working with a conference of doctors in Albuquerque, the Presbyterian Healthcare Services Hospital System, helping them design a system of rhythm and drumming to help with their patients for such things as heart problems, lowering blood pressure, meditation, connectedness techniques. So I believe, you know, we're really talking about the same thing, and we're really working toward the same goal.
And I go crazy. That's how it's affected me now. It raises my blood pressure. It raises my heart. I mean, I'm in pretty good shape. I keep myself in good shape. I work out all the time. I meditate. I eat right.
Are you under medication?
No, I'm not under any medication at all. I haven't been to a doctor in like 40 years. But a lot of the people where I live there for convenience. You know, I live there for convenience right now. And it is my home. And if the doctors are working with you on that, fine. Maybe these people haven't listened to drums for 8 hours, or maybe they won't. But it's just, after a while, it just rubs you the wrong way.
I really think that your residents...
What's your name?
Hi, my name's Don.
Hi, Don.
Don Davidson.
Yes.
Who are you?
I'm Robert Norris.
Oh, you're that guy.
Yeah.
I really think that there's no reason why your residents should be intruded upon by extraneous noise. However, a citywide ordinance, you know, is not the way to deal with that. And I think that's why people have come to this meeting to sort of voice their support.
The only reason it's quiet in front of our building now is because I've had to call the police time after time after time. I'm the only one that hasn't been afraid to sign a complaint. I have to get out of bed
get dressed.
You're here at this meeting.
Come downstairs.
You've done a lot. I'm sure you have a lot to.
But I'm just saying, it hasn't been easy, and it has been something that I didn't really want to do. You know, but for my peace of mind, and for a lot of other people's peace of mind, the people on the building lose tenants all the time because of it. People move out. So it's and I'm moving too. I'm moving in like the next 2 or 3 months.
So will this issue be passé for you in 2 months?
It won't be. It would be if I'm not in the community. It would, but it wouldn't be passé for where I live.
I've lived here for 12 years. I've always dreamt and always will. And I appreciate, you know, your willingness to work for a peaceful community where you live. A citywide ordinance certainly isn't the way to deal with that. But I really appreciate your willingness to you know, to whine about it.
Whine about it?
Well, you know, to bring it up for attention because
the
people need to know.
The downtown and asked drummers to quit drumming, and they gave him the finger. So it's through his personal experience of 1 week he got over 50 phone calls.
Do you really
so
think
it's,
the law
it's
is
like,
going to help? I mean, you still have to, it's a complaint basis, right? You're
going to
have to call
the police.
If I have
to call the police, I will.
Aren't
but it's gotten
already
better.
On the books, though? So, like,
I don't have any idea.
Disturbing the peace, which you said you made complaints and signed complaints, correct?
Uh-huh.
And what
I'm
you do is you go to court. Did you ever go to court with
no.
this? So you just sign a complaint and just let the person...
Waited for them to... If I have to go to court, I'll go to court.
Because I've been charged with 415, but I play guitar.
Guitars don't bother us. It's the loud beat of the drum, the consistent bang. You know, it's like, after a while... Like, I've been on Indian reservations.
Mm-hmm.
At Chumash Indian Medicine Man's a good friend of mine in outside of Santa Margarita. They drum at night. They don't drum all day long, you know. They go and they have a certain time where they drum, and they drum for about 2 or 3 or 4 hours. But that's their culture, and they're raised with it. To listen to it all day long, especially if you come home, like, if you come home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you think, well, I'm tired, I think I'll lay down and take a nap, and then all of a sudden there's that noise, and you can't rest,
but
you can't relax.
But it starts at 8, though, right?
Oh, no, it used to start at 2 in the afternoon and go... We used to have to listen to it till 10 o'clock
I mean,
at night.
The law is stated at starting at 8 p.m.
Yeah, now.
So people can drum before then.
Yeah, but you're only supposed to be able to drum for 20 minutes and you have to move on.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is not under the law. This is an agreement that has been reached.
That's what the police told me. They said if they said drum for 20 minutes and they have to move on.
It sounds like the police have made a decision as to how they want to deal with this particular El Centro complex, perhaps, and complaints from the complex. I'm not necessarily criticizing it,
yeah,
but I'm saying that.
Yeah.
See, what I would hope to see is, again, a mediation situation wherein if you have a problem, instead of calling the police who show up maybe half an hour later or sometimes on time, you know,
mm-hmm.
you could call a mediator who could immediately come in and go down and really talk to the drummers and say, look, I'm not a cop. I'm not going to, you know, arrest you or send you, but I mean, here's someone who's, you know, is in her 60s, trying to get some rest. This is her home, you know, and all she's asking for is a little peace and quiet.
Yeah.
I've had someone ask me to stop playing, and I did, and I promised never to play in front of El Centro again, and I played down. It could have been you.
Kind of looked familiar.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a lot of courage to go to drummers and ask them to stop. You know, we've been
mediators.
Told not to do it, but at times, are we on?
I thought you went home.
No.
I don't know. I said I started waiting out here where it's going, but I wanted to find somebody else first.
What was I going to say?
I've had other people too.
The reason why is because there is no park area downtown. There's one of these empty lots should be knocked down and made a park out of where people can come together, especially low-income people who can't afford to go to Starbucks unless they can find the free coupon. But can't afford to do that, and they need a place to be downtown because they're part of our community, just like you are, just like the merchants are, just like everybody else
is. Well, this was a situation, I think, that happened, and they didn't plan for it to happen when they built El Centro. They should never put a senior complex downtown.
I always wondered why they did that.
But it's there now, so what can you do? You can only, you know, most of the people in there don't hear very well. In fact, they don't hear at all. And the Downtown Association called me today and asked me to bring as many seniors as I could with me. Well, there's very few, you know, they're asleep now or they're on medication or it doesn't bother them. They don't hear the noise. They live in the back or something like that. So The few that are in there are stretching it, so to say.
I'm glad you're participating, although I probably take issue with, you know, the way... The way that this was resolved for street performers was the merchants wanted to get laws. Just like in your case, the merchants are kind of saying, let's get some laws in here. But the street performers got together and said, let's have a set of guidelines. Let's use peer pressure, because we all need to live together in this situation. And laws just make it in a way more difficult, because all it means is there's going to be more conflict, people go to court more. I mean, in some cases you may, you know, may be successful in saying, here's a cop, you run off those people. But in another sense, it's much better if people can work things out in an individual basis. And that's what street performers have done for the last 15 or 16 years. If they have the informal guideline is that, you know, if somebody complains, then after an hour, they move on. And that's not a law. No, you can't say, oh, here's a law, you know, I'll call the cops. But it's an agreement. And it has the force of peer pressure of 36 or 37 street performers who all agreed to it. So, you know, and it's a guideline. So it has a certain effect on people. Like when a newcomer comes to town, that person is given a set of the guidelines.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to drums after I complain. I don't want to listen to him for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that in this case, there should be consideration because it is a senior complex. You know, I think that maybe this should be an isolated area where the guidelines would say, please don't play in this particular because.
Or maybe if people were educated, if they were posted signs,
yeah,
like, this is a quiet here, please be quiet here. Not that it's a law.
Well,
but
people
that
tear down those signs. I mean, signs don't stay up in Santa Cruz.
Well, it could be a more permanent kind of sign, you know.
Oh.
You could say this, you know, it might even be a mural. You know, it could be something artistic that was done on the wall of a building that's, you know, that showed, you know, I've never seen a mural about older people that are much in our society. You know, you guys are ignored, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're waste material as far as, you know.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, what good are we?
Well, exactly.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Our productive years have pretty much gone their way. Not me.
You've had a lot of years and experience.
Yes. I'm just beginning.
Yes. Well, I can see what you're doing here tonight. I've got to watch our step here. So,
yeah, I just sort of feel that way. If there was sort of like a guidelines or something when people came into town, because I know new people come in town, they're not aware of it. And I think that if word was put out like the food instead of bombs, they feed people across the street,
mm-hmm,
sometimes that attracts drummers. They celebrate. And you know, this is so bad, the drumming, it's that they have to beat it so loud. If they did it maybe a little softer, it could be acceptable. But that would be great.
But that's an issue that nobody ever talks about. It's supposed to be a Pacific Garden Mall. Well, not anymore. But 2 weeks ago, Jin Yokoyama said, it doesn't matter where you play on the mall, it's a canyon. It's a cement canyon downtown. If they addressed the issue of the acoustical environment and decided that, yeah, maybe we do want street musicians to perform downtown, we do want this attraction to happen, maybe we could adapt the acoustical environment downtown to make it more palatable. The drumming more palatable, if we can use the term. Like, make it an actual garden mall so the drumming doesn't bounce around so much.
I wear them. I have them.
I'm wearing a chainsaw.
I don't hear it. When I put these in, I don't hear the chainsaw.
Now, why should I have to live with earplugs in my ears in my own home?
Because they're comfortable and it doesn't bother anyone else's freedom. If you don't mind stepping on people's freedom, then why should you bother?
I have to leave my windows closed, too.
At night?
Yes, all the time.
You should close them at night.
I'm bugged by the Safeway truck going down Mission, waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
How far do you live from these drums at night? There's no drums at night.
I'm right on the street.
Westwood.
And the debate continued, eventually leading into the council, which discussed the issue for the next hour, hour and a half. Let's say the public presented its input and the council had a briefer discussion period. That discussion is available for the public to hear at the public library and at the city clerk's office, so I'm not going to replay a lot of it here, although much of it was very interesting. We'll give you a few highlights and make a few comments. Initially, Mike Rotkin, the mayor, sought to have debate limited to 2 minutes per speaker, which in a public hearing is very little time. Usually you allow 5 minutes per speaker. Now, there were many speakers. There were 20 or 30 people who wanted to speak. But at the previous session, Rotkin had allowed only 1 minute per speaker. So it was, again, it looked like an attempt to railroad through a provision that the council had previously decided on, to single out drumming as a source of offensive noise after 8 o'clock at night, make it extremely easy for police to tell drummers to stop drumming or get a ticket. Or actually not to drum in the first place, because the very act of drumming, even prior to a warning, would be an offense. Kennedy interrupted, requesting that it only be 1 minute per speaker. However, when the speakers expressed their concern about this, Kennedy relented on his motion and said he would reconsider it after half an hour, but that he would allow 2 minutes per speaker. So this extremely short amount of time of 2 minutes per speaker was dictated by Mayor Mike Rotkin. And I say dictated because Rotkin seems to have a persuasive, if not controlling, voice in what the council does on many occasions. He successfully intimidates Celia Scott and Catherine Byers into, not quite into silence, but certainly not into avoiding any formal opposition to what's going on frequently in terms of proposing alternate resolutions and so forth. He can be, however, derailed, and indeed he was derailed at the end of this debate in what was a startling turn of events. And we'll be examining that a little bit further on in this tape. The whole process of public comment at City Council is a rather interesting one, which should be much more open to the public, in my view. The council allows a very limited amount of public input. In my mind, it's frequently made up its mind before it starts, although that did not happen today. At least if it made up its mind, it changed its mind radically as a consequence of the debate and a consequence of the actions of Scott Kennedy. But generally, once you're allowed your 1 minute or 2 minutes oral communications, your 3 minutes, that's it. You can't respond to what the council has said. If you try to respond, you're threatened with arrest. If you look at the minutes of City Council meetings, you'll see that the chair informs Robert Norris that he is disrupting the meeting, or actually says Robert Norris disrupted the meeting. And what that means is, I replied to something said by the chair, usually a personal attack from somebody like Scott Kennedy toward me, and Kennedy's attacks are quite sharp, and I'm then told by Rotkin that I face arrest if I respond. So it's kind of a one-sided discussion at City Council. It is possible, however, to change that, and the way to change that is to raise your hand or stand up and seek the acknowledgement of a council member without disrupting the meeting who might be sympathetic to you, because council members have the option to call on members of the public if they wish. So you should direct your attention to Catherine Byers, who is on the left of the center usually at the council, and Celia Scott, who's on the extreme right. We're not talking about political positions, we're talking about their position around the semicircular dais where these council members sit. You can get their attention and wave your hand. It's possible they will recognize you and allow you to respond. It's also important to contact these council members before the council and tell them that there are occasions when you feel the public should be allowed to respond, and alert them and sensitize them to the need of the public to be able to be seen at these council meetings. Speakers should also be aware, who go to council, that they are on television. So you're not merely addressing this limited audience that's in the council chambers and the council members who frequently couldn't care less what you have to say and have already made up their minds, and then sometimes they don't feel that way, and that's what happened on this particular night around the drumming issue. But that seems to be a rarity so far, unfortunately. You're also addressing the larger larger television audience, and even the radio audience, because some of what you say will get on Free Radio Santa Cruz and may also get on other media. Here's some of the drumming debate. Returning to the drumming debate, the audience was not terribly happy at Rotkin's two-minute ruling, though of course it was happy that it didn't accept Kennedy's one-minute ruling, or that Kennedy withdrew his request for that. People had waited several hours to speak at the debate. They had assumed, perhaps they assumed, that they would have the normal 5 minutes that speakers are usually allowed during public hearings. Rotkin imperiously and unilaterally assumed that he could do whatever he wanted, as he usually does at these council meetings, in terms of cutting short debate time and arbitrarily making rulings on this issue. All the while, speaking rapidly with a series of apparently rational considerations that tries to make him seem reasonable, as he essentially
sets the ground rules himself and excludes a lot of public comment from people who took time off from work, who took time off from what they were doing, who waited for hours and hours to speak. Interestingly enough, however, this audience showed a certain spirit, and they were willing to speak out. Rotkin did not threaten any of them with arrest, interestingly enough. He does threaten people with arrest like myself who speak out, but perhaps he doesn't want his fascisti side to show so sharply as it would if he were more promiscuous in his threats of arrest. There's an interesting interchange between Rotkin and the audience, who counts the audience and sounds to act like he's doing them a favor by letting them speak, when in fact he's delegated to represent all of us. And that should you see an interesting instance of his arbitrariness when he states that everybody has to raise their hands or they won't be allowed to speak, because he will recognize your face and know that you didn't raise your hand. So what happens, for instance, to a person who comes in 5 minutes late in the middle of the discussion and still wishes to speak? Well, Rotkin has ruled that apparently you can't speak, which is preposterous. You shouldn't have to be there from the very beginning, sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting while he shifts around the agenda, as he did on this meeting. There should be some reasonable accommodation to folks who come in and want to speak. And hopefully there will be. The more people speak out on this issue, the more chance there is.
Okay, just keep them low lights. It's important to keep them up for a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's no reason you're not going to get to speak. I recognize people's faces here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 people. Okay, that's 15 minutes later, as we're going to be ending public testimony at 11 o'clock at night, and then beginning deliberation and discussion of the action.
We have the right to speak.
That's if there's 2 minutes. Yeah. That's the consideration for council members who want to vote no on the motion to have it be 1 minute.
Not everybody's going to take that long.
In my experience, if you give people 2 minutes, they give 2 minutes. Okay. So, we've got the motions on the floor, and that's the minute.
I'm willing to withdraw the motion if you can reconsider it a bit temporary.
We're going to cut people's testimony short. So there's a consensus then to have the testimony be 2 minutes each, and 10:30 we'll revisit this question. Up to 2 minutes. You know, let me ask people, this is important. It's not a matter of doing this for us. Look around the room, giving some reasonable consideration to other people here, the people that want to be here all night. We've been here since 1 o'clock, so don't get started on me, all right? But the issue is, excuse me, we have order in the room. I'm just asking people to show reasonable consideration for the other people that want to speak from the public, which you not take more, you know, force us to cut you off at 2 minutes, be as brief as you can. Thank you. Let's come forward.
So Rotkin makes people's rights appear as some sort of grant of his generosity. Tries to make people feel guilty and move along in their speech because he wants the debate short. This is an issue that was very important to these people. That's why they waited so long. That's why they showed up a week early, many of them, not knowing when the proper council day was. I'm not aware that Rotkin, for instance, went to the drummers to talk to them about these issues, that he contacted drumming organizations, or that he went down to Westcliff to speak to the drummers. It's true he said he went downtown and got the finger from some drummers who didn't like his request that they move on. And that sounded probably was rude and inappropriate of those drummers. But the kind of championing he did of the residents without equally considering the drummers, I think, showed his prejudices in this matter.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for your attention. My name is Don Davidson. I'm a teacher of drums and percussion at the University of California, Santa Cruz. I also work for an organization called Village Music Circles, and our mission is to spread rhythm and drumming throughout the world. Basically, we strive to create a world that people want to belong to, and I believe our aims are in sync with yours. I do organizational training and communication seminars with corporations such as Apple Computer, Verax. I was trained by a man named Arthur Hall, who is a venerable spirit throughout the world. I just returned from doing a conference with a group of doctors in Albuquerque who are using drums and rhythm for stress management for lowering blood pressure, such things as this. I also would like to address the growing culture change not only in Santa Cruz, California, but around the world, which is to say when my friends have babies, when people die, the drums are there. Drums are an integral part of our culture. To address specifically the ordinance on the floor, it seems that the unduly is aiming at restricting my livelihood and the well-being of a lot of people that I work with. Them being a lot of virtually every school in town that me and my cohorts have visited, teaching drum and rhythm. Rehabilitation centers, drug treatment centers, we teach drums and rhythm. This is an integral therapy for the future. This ordinance would restrict my livelihood in this good work. It also is aimed at a specific group in the population, and very unfairly. We in the drumming community, which amounts to thousands in Santa Cruz, have never called to thank you for the space that you allow for us to drum here outside. So, against every complaint, I would like to say for all those thousands, thank you for allowing us to celebrate life like we do drumming in Santa Cruz. I wouldn't like to say any more. I just want to thank you for your time. And I would like to urge you to please not paralyze a very large segment of our community because of a handful. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Leilani Stewart, Mr. Mayor and honorable members of the council. I'm here to read a letter composed by the management of John Stewart Company, who manages the El Centro building down on Pacific Avenue. It's written by Valerie Schaffke. She says, I'm writing this on behalf of the elderly tenants of El Centro Resident Suites. Since taking over the administrative duties of El Centro 6 months ago, I have had numerous experiences with the drummers on Pacific Avenue. Admittedly, not all of them negative, but by far most of the encounters have been unsuccessful in terms of communication. As the mayor knows, from phone calls and letters, we have tried various techniques to help the residents deal with this problem. One resident has an extreme skin condition which is highly irritated by stress. Her apartment's right in front of the building. She has spent many nights on the phone with the police department complaining about the noise. Another resident has slept in her bathroom since she's moved in for 2 years. The police warn the drummers, and as soon as they leave, they start up again. Now, this isn't all of them, but it has happened. One night, the drummers retaliated by pushing the doorbells in front and screaming obscenities into our phones. Valerie further states, I'm willing to host meetings that encourage dialogue with the musicians and our residents and other elderly tenants on Pacific Avenue, if that would help. At this point, I am becoming extremely inflexible in my attitude towards the young people on Pacific Avenue. Unfortunately, with no limits on their behavior, these people will continue to disregard others and themselves. We serve no benevolent purpose in allowing this. Please pass this noise ordinance. And it's signed by Valerie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My name is Charles Stein. I'm a member of the community. I think this regulation goes is in reaction to a real problem, as the last letter said, but I think it unduly vilifies drumming in general. I'm bothered by the fact that it's singling out drumming. From my reading, there is this curfew offensive noise ordinance that the letter referred to that was read, and I also wonder why wasn't that enforced. It seems to me that that covers the issue. I think simplifying laws is better than adding to them. And if this perhaps increasing the hours to the desired hours is the thing to do, and not to to single out drumming, because it tends to vilify drumming, and it feels like one step towards something else. There is a full description in 9.36.010 about offensive noise, and it seems to me that that would cover the issue. There's one more thing, and that is in the ordinance it uses the words tend to disturb, and that seems awful vague to me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Schneider. I'm a property owner and taxpayer, a drummer and dancer in Santa Cruz. I'm not happy with the ordinance. It seems to me that there's a real problem with drumming on Pacific Avenue, but that the measures that the council's taking to curtail that problem extend far beyond the reach of that particular incident, and will affect a much greater community of drummers in Santa Cruz. And I have the choice to live anywhere I want, and I choose to live in Santa Cruz because of the unique culture here, and I think that drumming is a part of that culture. It seems to me that there is an existing ordinance for noise control, which actually I happen to have been called on the other day. I had a party. The police officer came over to my house. I had a late night party, had a band playing at my house. The police came over, said, "We've had complaints, you're to shut down. If we have to come out again, it's going to cost you $700, minimum $700. I was very careful to be very quiet in my party. The last letter that was read said that the police warned the drummers to be quiet and they don't do it. Well, I don't know what methods of enforcement they have, if they can take away their drums, if they can fine them, whatever it is, but there's an existing law which should provide for quieting drumming after hours. I personally take great enjoyment going down to the beach and drumming, full moon circles, sitting around with friends, dancing and drumming. It's a wonderful way to celebrate life. And to have an ordinance which will prevent that would make me very sad, and I think would be a great disservice to the city of Santa Cruz. I hope you don't do that. Thank you.
And the debate continued through the next 20-odd speakers. Again, you can check out this debate in the library, where they have tape recorders that you can actually use to hear it, or in the city.